Well, they called me once, and they called me twice. First time they called me, it was cold as ice. They say, get to the table, get to the table on time. Better make up your mind if you wanna get to the table on time.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Jim Weil, who's the president of the Food Research and Action Center. Previously, he was program director and general counsel at the Children's Defense Fund and deputy director and director of federal litigation at the Legal Assistance Foundation of Chicago. He litigated major law reform and class action cases in the federal courts of appeals and the Supreme Court on Social Security, Medicaid, AFDC, food stamps, and other public benefits issues. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jim Weil.
Thank you, Ian.
And I imagine you're relieved that the Farm Bill didn't pass because it was going to punish the almost 50 million Americans who go to bed hungry and who don't get enough food. And what I found extraordinary, though, about it is, for example, in the debate that preceded it, Representative Stephen Fincher, Republican of Tennessee, took to quoting the Bible, saying, "The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat." Now, this same Republican congressman from Tennessee, his family owns a cotton farm, and they get the biggest farm subsidies, one of the largest recipients of farm subsidies in Tennessee's history. So that, to me, is just breathtaking hypocrisy.
Yeah, I'd say Representative Fincher probably wasn't the best spokesperson for his cause. But also, what he doesn't understand, and many of the people who want to cut this program don't understand or deliberately don't understand, is that this is a program, the food stamp program, now called SNAP, reaches a wide swath of Americans who are struggling with poverty and hunger, seniors, people with disabilities, children. Those three groups make up the large majority of beneficiaries, and working-age adults, including a lot of working adults, because wages are so low now that people need food stamps and other help like Medicaid and tax credits to provide the basics for their families. So 60% of the children in the program live in families where a parent is working.
And this is the so-called recovery, where people are probably getting, by and large, getting less than they used to get before the crash.
Right. People's wages are down. Among the people who are working, obviously, there are still fewer people working than before the crash. And those who are working, the bottom half of the population has certainly seen its average wages go down.
So there was a series of amendments that went in before this final vote count, where the bill went down 234 to 195. And it appears that the Republicans wanted even a more punitive bill than the one that they put through, and that they put in a provision that recipients of food stamps had to work.
Right. Well, and there already are some work requirements in the program. Mm-hmm. So the Agriculture Committee, which put the bill together that went to the House of Representatives, was cutting about 2 million people out of the program and reducing benefits for another 500,000 people. And we opposed the bill when just that was happening. But in the floor debate over the last 24 hours, the conservatives made the bill much worse. They put in this drastic, radical work rule that basically gave governors a fiscal incentive to require people to find work or fall off the program even if there were no jobs, and the governors could keep a share of the money that otherwise would have gone to the people for any purpose they wanted, high-end tax breaks, build baseball stadiums, whatever. So that was a bad amendment that got adopted. People were shocked by that. There was an amendment to drug test all applicants in the program, even though there's no evidence that, you know, food stamp applicants are any more likely to be using illegal drugs than anybody else in the society. There were a lot of amendments that are predicated on outdated stereotype, often racially based stereotype of who's in the program, of who needs help, when in fact the people who need help are your neighbors, our neighbors, the people who are working but not making enough, seniors, people with disabilities, and overwhelmingly kids.
But meanwhile, as was the case with the congressman that I mentioned from Tennessee, his farm, his cotton farm, is a huge recipient of these farm subsidies. Now, the Senate and the House bill both agreed what to cut, $5 billion, I think, particularly for the most egregious subsidies, which is where you get direct payments for not growing crops. And that apparently has been replaced, though, by a $9 billion crop insurance program. So that seems like a sleight of hand. Can you explain that to us?
To a degree, I can. I'm not an expert in farm programs, but everybody had agreed, most Republicans, most Democrats, the president, most members of Congress, that the direct payment program, which paid farmers often not to grow crops, was just untenable. And so it was agreed to take that money back, in effect. And this is true in the Senate as well as the House. They came back with a vast expansion of the crop insurance program that insures people not just against natural disasters, but against prices going down. And there are many people who think that expansion of crop insurance is going to cost even more than the direct payment program that got eliminated. So that, in effect, there's no cut in the farm subsidies. And you called it a sleight of hand, which is a good description. It's a little bit of a shell game.
Well, but Congressman Finch is in the new proposed $9 billion crop insurance program. It goes to peanuts, cotton, and rice farmers, and he's the biggest cotton farmer and recipient of farm subsidies in the state of Tennessee. In fact, in the history of the state of Tennessee, so
there are a number of members, or a number of members who get farm subsidies, and there are also a lot of members from agriculture areas and who serve on the Agriculture Committee from both parties whose campaign contributions are overwhelmingly from farm interests, crop insurance companies, and otherwise. So you don't have to have a farm to benefit financially from the industry.
And again, I'm speaking with Jim Weil, who's the president of the Food Research and Action Center. Previously, he was the program director and general counsel at the Children's Defense Fund and deputy director and director of federal litigation at the Legal Assistance Foundation of Chicago. He litigated major law reform and class action cases in the federal courts of appeals and the Supreme Court on Social Security, Medicaid, AFDC, food stamps, and other public benefit issues. So this extraordinary compulsion to punish the poor, at the same time to brazenly accept taxpayer money in many cases for not even growing crops, for having farms that just literally get subsidies for doing nothing. These people don't see themselves as benefits of government welfare. I mean, is this a case that they're beating up on left-wing welfare and pretending that right-wing welfare doesn't exist?
Well, and to be fair, there are a lot of conservative groups that oppose these farm subsidies. So
the Club for Growth, I take it. And
right, and the Heritage Foundation, I believe. So there's concern among both progressives and conservatives to reform the farm programs, and the president wants to reform them. But most of the energy for cutting back on food stamps, all of the energy for cutting back on food stamps, is coming from the right, and particularly a lot of the new Tea Party members of Congress from districts where there may be thousands of, and probably almost certainly are thousands of food stamp recipients, because hunger and poverty are not, contrary to the stereotypes, concentrated in cities. The food stamp recipient rate is just as high in rural areas in this country as it is in central cities. So the members either aren't quite aware of the economic situation of their constituents, or they're aware but don't care.
Well, a lot of them, of course, wear their religion on their sleeves, and the Sarah Palins and the Michelle Bachmans and others on the Tea Party side use religiosity a lot and proclaim to be custodians of Christian values. How in God's name is it Christian to have your fellow Americans starve and have children go to bed hungry? I mean, we're talking about millions of kids in this country, right? You've got 50 million people dependent upon this program. Isn't the bulk of them children?
Yes, the bulk is. And, of course, the mainstream religious groups, the Catholic bishops, Bread for the World, which is a Christian-based anti-hunger group, Mizone, which is an anti-hunger Jewish charity, the Jewish Council on Public Affairs, and many other religious groups have strongly opposed these cuts. And, you know, every major religion in the world has a tenet, a basic tenet, feeding the hungry. And so those members of Congress like Fincher, who quote scripture to justify cutting off help to people, I'm not a biblical expert, but I believe that their religious views are in a tiny minority.
So who were the 24 Democrats that voted for this bill that went down, largely because most of the Democrats opposed it? And by the way, one of the Democrats that voted for it was the number two Democrat in the House, Steny Hoyer of Maryland.
No, Hoyer didn't vote for it. He voted against the bill.
He did? Oh. Yeah. Well, this is the AP story that I'm reading from here. Well,
no, I'm certain he didn't.
Well, that's why I ask you, because it sounded out of character for him.
Right. So the Democrats who voted for it were mostly from rural districts. I don't mean to excuse what any of them did, because, as I said, there's a huge amount of hunger and poverty in their districts. They're mostly from rural districts, several from California. Where you are.
Do you have any names? I mean, maybe we can shame some of them.
I leave that up to you. Jim Costa, mm-hmm. from California, voted for the bill. Sam Farr from California voted for the bill. John Garamendi voted for the bill.
Oh, well, he's supposed to be a new age touchy-feely guy.
Right, and Jerry McNerney. So four Democrats from California voted for the bill. And you know, we don't think anybody, Democrat or Republican, should have voted for the bill. Some of the Republican opposition, by the way, was because they thought the cuts weren't big enough. Paul Ryan voted against the bill because he thought the cuts weren't big enough. But overwhelmingly, the Republicans voted for the bill and the Democrats voted against it.
So what's going to happen next then? Because obviously it was a massive humiliation for the Agriculture Committee Chairman Frank Lucas, a Republican of Oklahoma, who tried to shepherd it through. And he seemed
For the ranking Democrat on the committee, Colin Peterson, who made from Minnesota, who made common cause with him.
Right.
And tried to push it through. Well, at this point, they're in such disarray that it's hard to know what's next. The Senate has passed its own bill, which has some food stamp cuts, much smaller, but still
$400 million annual decrease. Yeah, so that's right, one-fifth of the House's
right.
cuts.
Still inappropriate.
Right.
You know, it's possible the Senate will say to the House, well, if you can't pass a bill, just accept our bill. We'll attach it to something that's coming over your way anyhow, although not much is coming over from the Senate because
right.
they can't pass anything, but something will have to get passed, and they might try and attach it. Might come up in September in the big budget negotiations when the debt ceiling comes due. So, you know, there's still a huge amount of energy behind getting a farm bill because various farm interests want it and need it very badly. But what today's vote signals is that there's extraordinary Democratic opposition to the food stamp cuts. And while it's probably not the final word, or the last battle in the war, it was a huge battle to win because it's going to make it much harder to cut the program or to cut the program significantly. The other thing is the president put out a statement a couple of days ago saying, or the White House did, saying that his senior staff would recommend that he veto the bill that went to the House floor, and that was before it got worse through the amendments. So it was great to have the president take a strong position on this.
So it's possible that there'll be then an extension of the 2008 farm bill that expires in September. That would be the other fallback, right?
That's right.
So, you know, the American people are clearly holding the Congress in increasing disdain, and this is not likely to improve that at all. Are they aware of their dysfunction? That, you know, I mean, obviously it's a good thing that this didn't pass because it's so nasty and punitive and un-Christian indeed. But I imagine it also makes the leadership feel as if, I mean, what's going on with John Boehner? He's supposed to be interested in jobs and helping the American people, and all that ever comes out of his caucus and out of his house are bills to ban abortion, to punish the poor, etc.
Right. Well, you know, he obviously doesn't have much control over his caucus. In the debate today, and particularly on the Republican side, what happened is partially explains why only 10% of Americans approve of Congress. The other thing I'd say about American voters is, in our polling, 70% of Americans say they don't want to see the food stamp program cut at all. And that's true of rural as well as urban voters. The number of women who oppose cuts is slightly higher than the number of men. Republicans oppose cuts, although not as much as Democrats and independents. So across the board, Americans oppose food stamp cuts and certainly these types of cuts. And so this type of madness of slashing away at the program and not just throwing people out of the program and cutting benefits, but trying to put in rules that create red tape and stigmatize people and humiliate them before they can get benefits is not what the American people want.
Well, just in closing, and Jim Weil, do you think that that there is a chance in 2014 to change the nature of the House? You know, the normal equation goes against the incumbent in the White House, who's a Democrat. And 2010 was certainly a blowout for the Democrats. Is there going to be a cumulative effect of this kind of stuff, and particularly the nasty nature of what's going on? I mean, if you want a test case for what happens if the Tea Party take over the government, all you have to do is look at the state of North Carolina. And it was the Tea Party people in the House that were particularly punitive and callous in their demands to make people on food stamps, you know, if they can't get a job, the money goes back to the governor, who can then spend it on tax breaks for the rich. I mean, it's just appalling. So what's your reading, since you're there in the Capitol and follow this kind of stuff?
Well, a couple of caveats. One, my political guess may not be better than yours, and mm-hmm. As a public charity, we don't do electoral politics. What I will say is that traditionally, until this year, there's been a lot of bipartisan support for this food stamp program from Republicans as well as Democrats. And we're hoping that the polling and what happened today and generally the broad support for the program among mayors, among state legislators, from industry, there was a lot of outpouring from different interests in support of the program, and there should be support of the program among farmers, that will make both Democrats, including the several from California who voted for the bill, and Republicans better on the food stamp issue. So we need both parties to be better, regardless of who controls the House.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Jim Weil.
Well, thank you for covering this. This is a very important to tens of millions of Americans.
And again, I've been speaking with Jim Weil, who's the president of the Food Research and Action Center. Previously, he was program director and general counsel at the Children's Defense Fund and deputy director and director of federal litigation at the Legal Assistance Foundation of Chicago. He litigated major law reform and class action cases in the Federal Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court on Social Security, Medicaid, AFDC, food stamps, and other public benefit issues. This is Beam Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again with another background briefing. Bye for now.